Good morning, everybody. All right. There is a lot of grace in action here today. Because I sent out an email on Friday saying that the price of admission was a can of Campbell's soup. And there are three cans of Campbell's soup up here. There's an awful lot of grace here. You guys are all welcome because of grace. And those of you online, quick, run to the cupboard, get a can of Campbell's soup because that'll help you during the message, let me tell you. You know, there are some great Christmas songs, right? But this past week, I realized that I have a new favorite Christmas song. It goes like this. Good. Good. That's what Mary's baby is. Good. You guys are catching on so fast. That is great. You see, not all of us can memorize all the words like these marvelous singers do up here. And today we're going to be looking at Mary's song. And the Virgin Mary, we're going to celebrate that the Virgin Mary is not only the mother of our Lord, but she is also somebody who can teach us an awful lot about worship. And if you can memorize the whole Magnificat, God bless you, brother or sister. But if you're having a hard time remembering it, this will be your little handy memory device. Good. Good. That's what Mary's baby is. Good. So as we read together Mary's song of praise at the announcement that she is going to be the mother of our Lord, notice that there are two significant M words in both the first and second half of Mary's song. So let's read this together. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So as we look at the first part of Mary's song, we recognize that she is praising God's mercy and might, that her God and our God are good. Now, why would she need to praise God's mercy? His mercy extends to those who fear him. Well, she's admitting that she needs mercy. She makes a confession right at the beginning of the song. In verse 48, she says, "For he, God, has been mindful of this humble state of his servant." No, why is God mindful of Mary's humble state? Mindful means that he's taking a very careful look into her life. So is Mary humble in God's sight because she doesn't have very much money? Or do you suppose he looked into her life and went, she's from the wrong side of Israel. She's from the north, up in Nazareth, and I always look down from anybody up north. No offense to those from Jackson or anything like that. But Do you think that's what God looks at? Does he look at how much money you have in your pocket or where you're from to say whether you are highly exalted in his eyes or somebody who was a humble servant? Of course not. What does he look at? He looks into our lives and he sees guilt and sin. And that's what Mary is confessing here. Mary was not a perfect human being either. She admits in verse 47 that she has a Savior, that she is somebody who needs mercy, but she also makes a confession of her faith with that little word, my Savior. She is claiming God as my Savior, the one who has mercy on me who doesn't deserve it. Now, what could make Mary so certain of God's mercy that she sings the song of praise to God for the mercy that she has received? Well, there's some interesting names for God in verse 49. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. This verse tells us that Mary was not just a student of the Old Testament, but she was especially a student of the prophet Isaiah. She says, holy is God's name. Did you know that the prophet Isaiah is the one who uses the name the Holy One of Israel more than any other prophet? In fact, he uses it 25 times in his prophecy, and I think the rest of the Old Testament uses the Mighty One of Israel 5 times total. So this is a term that's especially significant for Isaiah. Holy is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Well, what would Mary have known about Isaiah's ministry? I'm quite sure that she knew about Isaiah's call. In Isaiah chapter 6, when God calls Isaiah into ministry, he sees a vision of the Lord in his holy temple in heaven, and the angels, the seraphs, they're called in that chapter, calling out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And what's Isaiah's reaction to this message of holy, holy, holy is God? He's terrified. He says, woe to me, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. You see, when Mary says that holy is his name, she's taking us back to Isaiah's call. And God's holiness is that bright, shining purity that's like a spotlight that shines deep into the darkest parts of our lives. Holy is his name, the Holy One of Israel, who knows every word that's come out of my mouth that was not clean and perfect. He knows every thought. He judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Mary knew that. Holy is his name. He's the God who sees everything about me, and he sees everything about you and me too. And yet, the holiness of God is not just a characteristic of God to be frightened about. The holiness of God is something to celebrate. Because in that vision that Isaiah saw, right after he says, I'm ruined because I'm a man of unclean lips, then God sends one of those seraphs, those fiery angels, to take a coal from the altar under God's throne. And he touches Isaiah's lips and says, see, your sins have been atoned for. You see, the holiness of God is not only that characteristic of God that looks deep into the dark parts of our lives. It's also that characteristic of God that says, I am going to make a way for you to be holy in my sight. I am going to make a way for your sins to be atoned for. The holiness of God reveals sin, not so that we despair, but so that we appreciate that he is a God who must show us mercy. He has to do something for us that we don't deserve. And that's what she goes on, and she sings, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." And Mighty One, guess what? The prophet Isaiah is the one who uses the Mighty One as a name for God more than any Old Testament prophet. She is a student of Isaiah. And what did the Mighty One do? In Isaiah, chapter 6 is Isaiah's call. Chapter 7 is when God, this Holy One, shows his might by saying, "I'm going to do something that's impossible. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and will give his name, and he will be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. Wow. One chapter later, the Holy One promises to do this mighty thing. An impossibility. You know, I just wonder what it must have been like for Luke to sit next to Mary. And I think he did, because, you know, Luke, the gospel writer, was not an eyewitness to these events. He tells us right in the very first verses of his gospel that what he did is he made a careful investigation of the eyewitnesses. And when you read the first couple of chapters of Matthew, it's obvious that one of the eyewitnesses that he talked with was Mary herself. Just imagine what it was like for Luke to sit next to Mary and have Mary tell Luke what happened when the angel Gabriel came and announced that she would have a child, even though she was a virgin, you know, and how she would, "This is impossible." But then she said, "Oh, I remember this is what God had foretold through the prophet Isaiah, and how this truly fulfills God's holiness and his might." So Mary, in this song, praises God for his mercy that she doesn't deserve, praises God for this might that she has experienced from God, that he did the impossible. And then she responds, she magnifies the Lord. That's what magnificat means, magnify. She praises God. If you're one of those people who fills out the blanks on the message outline, you can see there's a blank there for "Mary magnifies my Savior," but I would rather have you write "me magnifies." I know this is bad grammar, but hey, I need some M's, right? "Me magnifies my Savior." Because what Mary is doing here in this song is she is not only praising God for being the mother of our Savior, she is also teaching us about worship. That you and I have also received God's mercy and might in the person of our Savior. That you and I too don't deserve to stand in God's presence. You and I too have to say, "I am a man of unclean lips. I am a woman of unclean lips. I don't deserve to be here." And we experience God's might, his incredible power in doing the impossible, that God would become a human flesh and blood person in the baby born to Mary, and that God would take on this body so that he could sacrifice himself once for all. You know, the Old Testament sacrifices just were repeated over and over again. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about this repeated sacrifice, but there was one sacrifice made when God prepared a body for his son so that his son could sacrifice himself for you and me. You and I have received God's mercy and his might, and now Mary magnifies this God of mercy and might. And you and I, me magnifies this God of mercy and might. This is the heart and core of what worship is. And you and I can do that. And we do that in the privacy of our homes. Every time we open up the scriptures, every time we read the Bible for ourselves, we are asking God, reveal to us your mercy and might. And we respond in prayer and praise. We magnify God. This is what we do when we have a family devotion. We gather together and we remind each other of God's mercy and might as a family. And we receive, we offer up God, we magnify his name. But there's another aspect of worship that Mary talks about in the second part of this song. And this is also an good theme. Notice how he goes on and he says, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has set the rich away empty. God is mighty. This is what Mary is saying to other people now. Notice that she drops references to herself. Now she's talking to others. God is mighty. And is this good news or bad news that God is mighty? Well, it depends on who you are, right? If you are proud, bad news. If you're a ruler, bad news. If you're rich, bad news. But it's good news. If you approach God in humility, is I have no reason to boast and brag before you. I may fool other people by my holiness, but God, you see everything about me and how unworthy I am to be in your presence. If we are not rulers, that we admit, God, I don't control my life, like the song that we just heard, that we admit, you know, God, I'm not the ruler. I'm not the God of this world. I'm not the God of my life. You are. And I have to admit that very often Satan has taken control of my life and led me to do things that I shouldn't do. I am not a ruler at all. And when you admit, you know, I have no riches to offer you, God. I haven't done so much great stuff that, God, you just have to love me. I come hungry and empty. I want your peace. I want your forgiveness. I want your joy. I want your hope. I want your life that will never end. The good news is God is mighty. And if we approach him in humility, he can fill us. And so what is Mary doing here? She is speaking to others and she is calling them to repentance. You see, this is part of worship as well. That we are here to call each other to repentance. When we sing songs, part of those songs are songs that we offer to praise to God, but we are also speaking to each other. We're calling each other to repentance for our sins and then claiming God's mercy together. That as we have to confess, I am guilty before you, that we can remind each other that we have a God who is merciful in the person of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And so, if you have any doubts whether Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for you, then just ask yourself, am I part of this world? Yes, I am. You see, that's why we're here. We want to remind each other of that. That God remembers to be merciful to Abraham and to us, Abraham's spiritual descendants, who claim the promise of the Savior. This is something that Mary offered to others as she sang this song. We are here to offer these words, careful. See? Somebody should have been warning me. Aaron, come on, I'm pretty close here.
I was going to get you.
No, thank you. I didn't really plan that, but it does lead it really well, because the whole idea is we very often don't see where we are getting close to spiritual danger. We need fellow Christians to warn us when we start to think of ourselves with pride and we approach life as though we are the rulers and that we have everything that we need. We need fellow Christians to warn us of the dangers. But then we also have the responsibility to offer that same message to others. And I'll be honest, it doesn't really happen best in a large setting like this. Where it happens best is in much smaller settings. That's why I'm really thankful that this year is one of those years where Easter is about as late as it gets. And you know what that means? Because Easter is so late, Ash Wednesday is late. And Ash Wednesday, you know, Wednesdays in Lent in the Lutheran tradition is a huge deal because Lenten services are those times when we really focus in on what Jesus has done for us. And so most of us are there on Wednesday nights, and it's really hard to have small groups going on. But there's going to be about 2 months where we could start some small groups. You see, what is a small group? What's a life group? It's a chance for us to get to know each other, where we can warn each other, hey, you're getting pretty close to the edge. Or when we start to fall, somebody can push us up and catch us and say, hey, remember, you have a God who's merciful and who has the power, the might, to rescue you from whatever sinful addiction and pattern you're in. Now, if you are in that kind of relationship with fellow Christians, God be praised. But many of us aren't. Many of us are so all alone, and we're trying to navigate this faith all by ourselves. So that's why we scheduled another group link, January 13th. There's a note on the connection card. Mark on the connection card that you're going to come. Packers aren't going to be playing anyway. And let's get connected. Or if you're in a small group that just doesn't work, let's be honest, sometimes small groups just don't work, then why don't you come and let's look for a different one. Because it's really hard to remember that God is good when we're struggling or when we're filled with pride and we need each other. So, just to wrap up, you know, if you can memorize all of the Magnificat, great. But for those of us who don't memorize as well, we got it, right? Good. Our God is merciful and mighty. And we come into God's presence in worship to remind ourselves of that. Good. We offer God our praise. Mary magnifies the Lord, and me magnifies the Lord. Good. That's what Mary's baby is. And then there's this. I need my brothers and sisters to remind me of God's mercy and might. And my brothers and sisters in Christ need me to remind them of God's mercy and might. So, for those of you who have the Magnificat memorized, you don't have to sing along. But for those of us who don't, I would invite you to join in singing my favorite Christmas hymn now. Good. Good. That's what Mary's baby is. Good. Merciful and mighty. Amen. Please stand and let's pray. How wonderful you are, Lord. You came into the life of a young woman who didn't deserve anything, and you just changed her life forever and changed ours too. And today we're celebrating the fact that you've come into our lives with your mercy and your might. And we magnify you by our words, by our prayers. We just thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins that you've won for us. We thank you that you're going to use your might to rescue us from the sinful patterns that afflict our lives, that you're going to use your might to rescue us from death itself. And Lord, we come here and we make a commitment to each other that we're here for each other, that we love you enough that we're going to say to a brother or sister, you know, look out, you're getting too close. That we're going to reach out to a brother or sister who's struggling and say, God is merciful to you. He is mighty to save you. And that we're going to be humble enough to say, Lord, I need to be here because I need that blessing from my brothers and sisters too. Oh, Lord, how good it is to know you are good. Amen.